Hi, and welcome to episode number 2 with Jonathan Eastman. And we were talking about marketing tips. Jonathan is the marketing and sales director for Sacred Business Inc., and he has over 7 years of experience in retail capacity with sales and marketing, and about 2 years with various other types of marketing, including an education background in IT and marketing as well. So with that introduction, I wanted him to start sharing his tips for us, tip number 2, on how to serve you best and understand the customer and the messaging. And we were talking about 3 key components that will make any business successful. I highly recommend that if you're listening to episode 2, please go back and listen to episode 1, because you will have the background for everything we're doing. There are 3 legs in every business for a business to be successful. The first leg is, of course, having quality product and service. It wouldn't be easy to market something crappy to the world. I wouldn't recommend anyone trying to sell something crummy or provide a crummy service and expect anyone to pay them for it. As the world famous, most amazing teacher of all time, Napoleon Hill, would say, why should we expect someone to pay us top dollar if we're going to give, for lack of a better word, and some of the, I guess, plain language I can use, doing a half-assed job or doing half the labor? Why should we expect that? So having a quality product and a service, where we talked about tip number 1 was being very transparent and honest and communicating that message very clearly, is where we left off with tip number 2. And the second leg for a business to be very successful is to have a marketing message, whether it's referrals or internet marketing or direct mail or word of mouth, however marketing comes about. Marketing just means getting your message across, and that's something that, I've been blessed that with word of mouth referral and the level of service that I provide, I'm always getting a continuous stream of income. So I'm always open to a private free consultation for someone who feels that they're a right fit. And, I always talk about what I do, and that's kind of how I get most of my work. And the third leg is for a business to be successful is the accounting and the background, the admin work and the legwork involved. The product creation and the quality of service, along with, the accounting, are my 2 strong points. In terms of quality, W. Edward Demings wrote a book called The 14 Points for Total Quality Management, and it was developed in World War II, after World War II, with the Japanese, and it's a principle known as Kaizen. So you might want to look that up. I may share that information with you at a future time, but today I don't want to get off topic. I want to stick with Jonathan, and he has been super, super excited about this new business that he is starting and this new venture, and I'm here to support all entrepreneurs that want to be very successful, that have a passion. I would like to use my talent, my 20 years experience in accounting and monetization, to show them how to have a business that will succeed decade after decade, even after recession and all of that. I mean, we can't recession-proof anything, but what we can do is do the right thing so that we're in business for, more than 10 years, things like that. So with that said, we're working today on the second and most important aspect, the leg of a business, which is the marketing, and I turn it over to Jonathan. We were talking about delivering a clear message.
Oh, thank you. It's great to be back. Thank you so much for that introduction and summing up a little bit of what we talked about in the last episode, which was the first tip. And with the marketing message, I mean, you touched upon so many crucial points there. What I believe is really, really useful when thinking about a marketing message is you really want to clearly get across what it is that makes your business from the inside out, what you know your business to be as, the unique point of it, the individualized part of what you put on your business that makes it so great. And if you don't believe in a product that you're selling, then I have to say you'll definitely lose enthusiasm. It comes across that confidence, that customer confidence is not there. So a big part of sales is fully believing in what you are selling, what you're offering, and what it's capable of doing. What so many businesses end up doing is with their marketing messages becoming redundant and you know, typical, the term used is jargon. When that jargon comes across, then a person doesn't perceive that business as anything different from any other business or any competitor that may not provide nearly the level of service that your company or the best companies do. It's just the people don't know. So the communication is really crucial to let them know that this is the best product, this is how it favors against you know, other products that are out here, the unique advantages, the unique selling proposition, the USP is a big thing that people talk about.
So people can be, you know, in entrepreneurs, the reason I feel, another reason that 80% or more of businesses fail and entrepreneurs fail and they don't make a six-figure income or they don't have the success they want or they just don't make any money is because they don't have the courage to speak their truth. They hide behind, you know, their intelligence and their knowledge, and they want approval. They want, you know, they want to think about what someone thinks about them or what someone likes them or not. Honestly, what does it matter? If you think about it, that's a very, very selfish a standpoint for someone to be worried all about themselves. Rather, they should be focused on the needs of the customer. What service can they provide? What is going on in their customer's mind? How are their customers thinking? I mean, we should not, I feel in my heart that we should not get in business to service ourselves, because then who's going to be our client? Who's going to be our customer? What message are we going to communicate with them? What we should be doing is getting into business to solve a problem or a need that's in the market that people are willing to pay for, that they're willing to give us their time, energy, and money to help provide them with a solution for that problem. So, coming back to our true self and you know, key number 8 on page 186 of Cosmic Accounting, you know, there is the 9 areas of our lives, and the 9 corresponding areas are wealth and prosperity, fame and reputation, our relationships, our inner child or our children and creativity, helpful people and travel, our career, knowledge and self-cultivation, our health and family, and being in balance and living our divine purpose. So with those 9 areas, I don't want to focus on the 9 areas today. I'm focusing on one thing, which is marketing and our message. I talk about chapter 2, how being true to ourselves, our story, being authentic, being real. That comes from our fame and reputation. If we don't have a good reputation online or offline, in our communities, in our family, we have no integrity and honesty. Truthfully, I wouldn't do business with somebody that has a bad reputation, because unless they can prove me otherwise and say, hey, there was a mistake made, it would be difficult to work with someone who was inauthentic, not honest, not showing an integrity, and not having any truth in themselves or any belief in themselves. Also, the career area, according to the ancient Feng Shui 9 Trigrams method, to have a great career, we have to be courageous. So entrepreneurs need to have nerves of steel, is what I call it, and keep on having the courage when there is no courage, when there's adversity, when there's challenges, when whatever is going on, we have to still be able to communicate our message. Otherwise, we won't have a business. And that brings us back to the clarity and the purpose and, you know, the second tip that I feel would really benefit you in this show. And I'll hand it over to Jonathan to talk about that. But I really wanted to get that message across that, you know, we really need to stop caring so much about what the world thinks about us and what other people think. Because at the end of the day, if we look in our own mirror and look in our own hearts, did we do the best we could today? Did, you know, I asked myself, was I able to give 100% my best? Was I able to be of service? Did I try my very best? And if the answer is yes to that, well, guess what? I'm gonna screw up maybe, and that's quite okay. What does it matter if I screwed up a little bit, but at least I'm gonna be able to fix it? What does it matter if I wasn't feeling 100%? As an entrepreneur, our best, according to Don Miguel Ruiz with the Four Agreements, our best is going to change from day to day, you know, depending on how our mood and our intentions and our, you know, did we eat well? Did we sleep well? Is there, potential conflict or a confrontation? Is there a problem? Are there personal issues coming up? You know, it could be a host of issues that could cause us to be off balance. And that's okay. We're not meant to live in a perfect equilibrium stealth world. Perfect equilibrium is about being in the now, capturing a moment, being in the essence of truth. And to me, that's one of the highest things that a successful entrepreneur will have, is the ability to deliver that message with care, with compassion, with concern for humanity, concern for the community, concern for others, rather than thinking about themselves. And, you know, is if a customer purchases from you or not, it's irrelevant. What's relevant is that you did the best job you could. You did the best marketing message you could. You told your story the best way you could. You were as authentic as you could be. And, you know, with that said, I'll let Jonathan take it with tip number two. And go from there.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I mean, those are really crucial tips, and I love that. I love the feng shui nine trigrams and how you've related it to the areas of the life, because it's just so amazing how they connect to each other. And, you know, like she said, being courageous, you know, whether we're focused on ourselves or not, is very, very powerful, because the moment you start a business, it really has to start being about the customer, and you have to imagine what the customer wants. And so the more you get out of that only thinking about what I want, what the me of things, then you get into what the customer wants, and you can be of service to them. And the more people that you find a way to be of service to, you have the potential to grow a larger business and increase revenues and sales. And so it's really interesting how that works. And also, courage. Without that, we wouldn't begin in the first place. And I remember how terrified I was the prospect of becoming an entrepreneur when I was still an employee, because I was so used to things being the way they were and just doing my job, and I wasn't thinking outside of the box. I wasn't thinking of how I could serve others and how people could really use what I have. I just didn't allow myself to think that, and I had a lot of fears. And so my courage was definitely something that going through this process has helped me work on a lot, and find that it's so crucial, because you have to have the courage and also not caring too much about what people think of you, to the point where you're gonna have it stop you from even trying. I mean, so we're gonna bring that back to tip number two, which was using our personal story as our best USP, our unique selling proposition. We have people and customers identify with us by giving them a background of where we came from, you know, what we believe and why we're doing what we're doing. And so that they can identify with that movement, if you will, and that becomes much more unique than just saying different features or benefits. That's great, that's fine. That can be done too, but to really just not have any competition, you create a product and you tell the story of how you got there, and that's what makes it unique. No one has the exact same story. I mean, they may have similar ones, but our stories are what make us unique. Our stories are when people enter into our, you know, our belief system, not system, but rather, you know, what we believe, yeah, our reality, and just they get a glimpse of how we function, the way we do, and what's worked for us, what hasn't, and how our product can benefit them from either preventing them from making mistakes we've had, or allowing them to use the exact same methods to achieve whatever success or end result it is that we're looking for. And that's really the key, is with the message and the story, you get back to these people going through their own stories that want what you have, and they want to have a story like yours where they were in a place where they wanted something to change, and they experienced some sort of pain or something that they just couldn't get through, and they needed something to help them get to the point where they break through, and they then are experiencing the result that they want, that they wanted before they bought the product, and they are having success with going through exactly what, you know, the person marketing it who told their story. The idea is to get them to be a success story just like you, and then that can be used to tell the story to others and to help encourage them that, yes, they should give it a try. They can do it. It's not too difficult for them to do it. They have the courage to do it. If they just try it and just follow these methods, they will see the results. And that's the idea. You have to get them to believe in you and what you're doing, and believe in themselves, most importantly. Believe that they can do it too, you know? And
I'd like to, you know, to add to that a little bit, where in ancient times, you know, the ancient teachers of India and the ancient gurus, they did not allow someone, their students and disciples, it was forbidden in the Vedic means knowledge. Ayurveda means the knowledge of life, or, you know, Ayur is life and Veda means knowledge. In these ancient texts, when I started to write Cosmic Accounting and going back to my ancestors from India and some of their, 10,000 or more years of history, teachers were allowed to teach once they had the experience, and or they were connected to a teacher that had the experience. For example, in our mastermind group, in our coaching group, in the programs we've purchased, you know, some amazing, amazing teachers that have earned and amassed fortunes anywhere from, you know, 1 million, 5 million, 10 million, 250 million, and billions of dollars that they have personally earned are within our network. And, you know, I can't personally say that I have personally earned, you know, 250 million or $1 billion, because that's just something I haven't done. However, I am learning from teachers, coaches, and strategists that have done that. And so the ancient knowledge was that we learn from, you know, authenticity, that once we have done it, or we have a teacher that has done it, there is an invisible bond that is created between the two minds. There is a magnetic bond, according to Master Yogananda, Paramahansa Yogananda, who was the Indian saint that brought yoga to America. Now yoga is this big craze all over the West and all over the world. Everyone's finding out there are hundreds and hundreds of health benefits for doing yoga on a daily basis. And I like to talk about all the areas of our life, because as an entrepreneur, if we can do something to have more energy, more vitality, better health, well, guess what? We're going to show up at 100%. We're going to be able to deliver a more powerful, effective message to our clients and our customers, they're going to value us more. They're going to appreciate us more. They're going to appreciate that we work harder to maintain our energy level higher so that we're delivering at 1,000% for them, you know, 10 times 100%, 10 times our best, because we can do that when we eat right, we sleep right, and we do yoga. So that, coming back to the topic of the teacher, understanding that you and your unique selling proposition, or your story, your truth, and your light, whatever it may be the littlest thing that you have done in your life, you can make that into a business, and a viable business, if there is a need out there that people are having, suffering from. Right now, I'm having this idea, like, I've defeated several illnesses while I've been pregnant that are supposedly incurable diseases. There's one called PUPPP, and it's kind of like a hives and a rash, and I want to create a product to help pregnant moms, to let them know that you don't have to suffer for 9 straight months. I was able to heal at 100% when everywhere on the internet, doctors don't know what causes it or how it gets there or how to get rid of it. I was able to find information, and through my meditation and other means and natural resources, to cure myself. And if it has worked for me, it's very possible that it will work for another mom. You know, it has a lot to do with our nutrition. So without getting off topic, what I'm saying is a business can be formed with just an idea, a thought. However, if we have that experience, we have that knowledge, we can, if another pregnant mom is suffering, then it's easy for me to say, hey, you know, this is, you know, these are the vitamins I'm taking, these are the things I'm taking. You know, in the case of marketing, if someone has done this and they have tested it and they've walked in the fires, or they have a teacher that's making upwards of $10, $20, $30 million a year, that's their coach and directly transferring knowledge to them, well, then that disciple, that student, will be able to transfer that knowledge to their customer and bring that success to their customer. But if somebody has never ever done anything, they don't have the credentials or the certification, they don't know what they're doing, and they don't have a great mastermind or a great teacher or successful people backing them, well, it's very likely that they're going to have challenges. That's the reason why I'm gifting my time to you, and I'm trying my best to serve you, because I've spent $500,000 in 20 years learning so much that I can transfer so much of my experience and my knowledge to you, in hopes that you will not be going through 10, 15, 20 years of struggles that, you know, I had to go through, or spend $500,000, that you will be able to get that knowledge in a matter of minutes, because I can directly transfer to you the techniques, the, you know, the tactics, the strategies, and the tools that will, you know, that will serve you. And so can Jonathan, because he's learning from the best. He can also do that for you. So I wanted to bring that authenticity back, with the importance of, when we're transferring that message, how important it is that we are connected to that success as well.
Absolutely. And you touched upon something unseen that's so crucial about the message and connecting with that other mind, regardless of the medium, is, yeah, that exchange that goes on. And once you've learned something and you get it, it's there forever. And so that's really the value of the continuing education and updating of knowledge, remaining relevant, and continuing to provide the best service you can to the customers. And so I think that's really where people develop that trust, when they connect with that story. I mean, even you see it, if it's something very technical, like a tractor or something, they tell a little story about how they started, or how their grandfather did this, and you just start to feel that. You start to get into the humanness of it, rather than just, when you just focus on the technical aspects of something, you can just pick and choose between many different companies. But it's really the one that you resonate with, and that you have a belief that's, you know, similar to theirs, and you get that feeling of resonance, as they call it. And so I really appreciate you talking about that. And I hope that's a good encapsulation of kind of the message and the story that can be very powerful when it comes to marketing. Is there anything else that you'd like me to touch upon?
Just your passion, I think you've covered it for our audience really well. You know, again, I'd love for you to share your enthusiasm for editing, your enthusiasm for video making, your enthusiasm for, you know, life, your enthusiasm for doing the right thing, your discipline. You know, these are all characteristics of a very, very successful person. And how can you transfer that gift to our audience? How can you bring that? It's by telling our story that we transfer. You know, for me, I have a ton of courage. Like, I don't lack in courage to speak truth. And I always say, that may not always be the best thing in certain environments. However, in our business, in our career, in our life, if we are truthful and we're honest and we're transparent, number one, we'll avoid legal troubles.
Yes.
Number two, we'll have great customer relationships because we'll have integrity with them. Number three, we will be building value, tremendous value. Number four, we will have faith in what we're doing because we will be building trust in the hearts of our clients and our customers and our audience and our listeners. So yeah, you know, if there's anything you can add about, I really wanted you to share your enthusiasm and how you discovered your purpose in this process. What made you realize that marketing was for you? What made you realize finally? How did it click in your head? Because maybe there's someone listening out there that maybe saying, well, I'm doing this business, I'm making great money, it's been forever, but I don't know if this is what I want to do anymore. Maybe there's someone listening that is just starting a business and they're going, well, how do I know what business to get into? Maybe they're lost or confused. This is the reason why I would really like for you to go onto our website and to enter your name and email so that you can email us your thoughts or questions or concerns, or go on our blog. You know, there is a Mind Power for Success blog out there, you know, and we will provide you with that link in the site. So go to our blog if you don't want to enter your name and email, and tell us. I want to know what your questions are, so that I can start developing shows based on your needs. If you're my audience, and you know, I really want to thank you and value you and appreciate you for your time, for listening. You tell me what you want to hear more. What is it that is gonna, what kind of questions do you have, so that I can focus my work and my interviews on being of the highest integrity and highest service to you, so that you get what you need. And I would be more than happy to give you that. And like I said, we'll provide all the links for all the website at the end, because right now we're developing some of the new ones. The show, as you know, is relatively new, and I don't have everything done right today, especially, like I said, being 5 months pregnant. I can't do my 10, 12 hour days I used to do. I'm able to do, a lot less, but I'm able to still provide a lot of quality, high quality service to you. So yeah, just sharing your passion and enthusiasm for how this all clicked and your purpose, I think that would really benefit someone who may be looking for their message or maybe, you know, a little confused.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. I'd say for me, one of the biggest challenges I faced was, fear of being my true self, and fear of being ridiculed if I express myself. And another one was, you know, how am I going to...
Do you remember, was it always this way, or was that something that happened? A lot of us have a fear, not because we were born with it, but because at some point in our life there was an experience. Did it come from maybe a concert or an event or something that was taught to you in schools? Because a lot of the education system was designed to shut down our creative mind, to shut down our thinking for ourselves. We were asked to study textbooks of masses of information that, somehow blocked our brain from, and if we didn't get an A or we weren't very successful, We were penalized and punished by our parents to be overachievers, and I know personally that's something that, you know, many people, including myself, suffer from. And now I'm like, now I don't give a rat's cahoots, because it's like, hello, you know, I've already achieved the working for the largest corporation in the world. Where is it, you know, accounting firm in the world? I already have 20 years of experience. I already have all, but who cares? Really, at this point in my life, who cares? What matters is my relationship, my connection, my truth, and my family relationship, and having a new baby, and all the love I'm going to have in my life, and my customers, and the people that love and value me and appreciate me and love and value this planet and want to help humanity, want to make a difference. Entrepreneurs who want to make a difference and make a lot of money doing it. So, yes, we come from a place where we were conditioned to almost to fail. I say the education system, as it is, the curriculum was designed to make us branded cows to serve a different purpose, and that purpose was not our unique story and the purpose for which we were created. So, yeah, talk about that a little bit. I think it's a huge point for an entrepreneur. To be free, we have to be completely free. We can't just be half free and expect to feel complete freedom, you know, and be inspired. So, yeah, freedom seems to be a very important thing we're bringing up here today.
Absolutely. And I think many people become entrepreneurs for the freedom of time and money. You hear that a lot, financial freedom, freedom of time. To go back to your question, for me, I think it was a combination, you know, family, friends, schools. There was a certain cynicism and negativity and criticism as well. The way school is they tell you, you know, what grade you got, gauged on, you know, what the getting everything right in the way that they say is correct compared to what you did on a test, you know, like, for example, if it's writing, then they just have to kind of judge what your grade is based on what they believe to be right. If it's multiple choice, that's a different story. There's an answer, there's not. Either way, you're being graded. And when you're being graded on something that you personally put your energy into, it almost feels like it's a criticism on you personally. And you can, you know, at schools, they have like special meetings with parents if a student's not doing well. And it just makes you feel like, you know, maybe I'm not good enough, or I just started to feel very hurt, you know, very hurt by people wanting me to be a certain way. And it didn't seem to be a right fit for me. And then there comes to a point where you can either drop out of school and run away from it all, or you have to make an adjustment and actually start to, you know, kind of submit in a way that you have to find a way to get through it. Now I like to call it resiliency. You know, it's different the way I look at it now. It's more of like finding adaptive ways to deal with challenging situations, and there's no set way that those will occur. Depending on what you choose to do, it will change. With school, though, yeah, I remember, you know, when I went into high school, I kind of lost my identity of how I wanted to be and kind of just started being like everyone else out of, again, fear of ridicule and the sensitivity of feeling pain. And much of marketing and people are driven to buy things or do things, the majority of people, is to avoid pain. And so that's where a lot of the messaging is focused, to help people avoid more pain or make something in their life easier or make something go quicker so they have more time to experience the things that they enjoy. You know, that's another angle. Pleasure seekers or pain avoiders is really the two biggest categories that they focus on. I just felt like, yeah, it was, I don't know, it was just, there was an incongruency, and this relates definitely wholeheartedly back to marketing sales that we've been as we've been talking about this whole time. Is when you're being told one thing, and everything within you is experiencing and feeling that it's not a match of what they're saying and what you're feeling, the intentions are, whatever it is you're feeling. There's just something, or it could be your consciousness, whatever it may be. There are many ways that this shows up in our life. But it just doesn't, like we hear people say, it doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel like it's a right fit.